Well, thank you again, Mr. Warren. I do have a handout that's coming around. It's a test. No, I'm just kidding. It's not a test yet. However, here last month, we did the topic. We started the series, a short series, on the topic of spiritual gifts. And this is part two. And we also started spiritual gifts in our discussion group, our monthly discussion group. So the plan is, hopefully after this message and then after maybe one more round of spiritual gifts in our discussion group, we will have it's not really a test, it's more of an assessment, but it helps you possibly define what your spiritual gifts are. And we'll see how important that is, hopefully, as we go through this today. So, if you don't get this, if it looks like that, so you should get that here. If you miss it, raise your hand here in just a minute and you'll get one. But I want to start and relate to you a story. There was a man from Illinois. He decided to travel to Wisconsin. He wanted to go duck hunting. So he went to Wisconsin. He shot a duck. The duck fell in this farmer's field, way on the other side of the fence. Well, this flatlander from Illinois, he didn't care. He threw his gun down. He started climbing the fence. About the time he did this, this dairy farmer, older gentleman, drove up on a tractor. He said, "What are you doing? What's going on here?" The hunter said, "Hey, I shot a duck, and I'm going to get it." The old farmer got in front of him and replied, said, "Listen here, this is my property, and you are not crossing the fence." Well, this made the hunter mad. Young guy, no patience. Made him very mad. So he said, "I'll tell you what, old man." He said, "If you don't let me come across that fence, I'll call my Chicago lawyer, and I'll sue you for this whole farm." So the farmer smiled at him. He said, "Son, apparently you don't know how we do things in Wisconsin." He said, "We settle disagreements with what's called the Wisconsin three-kick rule." Well, this kind of intrigued the young hunter. He was a robust young man. He was always up for a challenge. He said, "Well, how's it work?" Farmer said, "Since it's my property, I go first." He said, "But I kick you three times, you kick me three times. I kick you three times, back and forth, until one of us gives up. Now, the minute one of us gives up, the other has to agree to quit, and everything's settled." The hunter said, "Absolutely. I love it." And he's thinking in the back of his mind, "This is an old man. I can take him. Not a problem." So they squared up. Farmer gets to go first. Farmer had heavy, steel-toed work boots on. The first kick hit the hunter in the shins, dropped him to his knees. Before he knew what was going on, the second kick hit him in the stomach, and he couldn't breathe anymore. About the time he was just about getting his breath back, the third kick hit him inside the head. So when he lay there a few minutes, he came to himself. He stood up and he said, "Okay, buddy, now it's my turn. You're in trouble now." The farmer said, "I give up. You can have the duck." Well, you're probably wondering, what in the world does this have to do with spiritual gifts? Well, hopefully you'll see. The point is, many of us, all of us, we battle over things, whatever they are, big things, little things, it doesn't matter. We battle over all sorts of things in our lives. And sometimes we do this simply because we like to fight. Well, we saw an example there. We simply like to kick people. That's human nature. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason. Here, last month, we did the introduction and somewhat of an abbreviated summary to spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, the whole topic of spiritual gifts, when you start thinking about the depths of how far they go and what they mean and what they do, how they're used and all about it, it's been a battleground. And it's been a battleground for many years. So much so that it goes all the way back to the Corinthians. And we read about that, and we're going to read about that here again. But this tension can result from an overemphasis of these gifts. Maybe somebody thinks, I have this gift, I'm better than you. Or I'm special. Or I've been called out. The problem is, whenever people were given these gifts and they realized they had them, they misused them, it offended people. And it has all down through time, and even today, it offends people today. But before we jump right into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I need to set the context just a little bit. Again, this is somewhat of a recap of what we talked about here last month. But it kind of sets the stage for where we're going and hopefully where we'll end up with, or what we end up with today. So if you recall, the Corinthians, the church there, they was beset with many problems. They had issue after issue, difficulty after difficulty. This church was filled with division. This church was filled with arguments, lawsuits, disagreements, even as much as immorality. This really went deep. On top of that, there was very much confusion in the church. Confusion not just about the spiritual gifts they had, but there was confusion about marriage, about food sacrifices, being sacrificed to idols, what to do with them, what they did with them, the resurrection, giving. The list goes on. And of course, the biggest on the list was the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that they had. Didn't know where they got them. Didn't know how to use them. Didn't know what they were used for. But they knew they had them. And because of that, pride set in. In particular, when you think about this church here, some people thought that they were more important than others. And they did this simply because they were blessed by God. You think, wow, you're taking a blessing from God and you're turning it into sin. That's exactly what they were doing. They were blessed by God. They didn't understand the blessings. And because of that, they allowed sin to come out. And it just about ruined the church. Paul wrote this letter to the church, and he specifically addressed these items that we're going to talk about today. So I do want to go ahead and turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know we read part of that last time, but I want to cover it a little bit different today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because when we read through this, we'll see that this gives us six different directives. These six directives will help each and every one of us, if used, to, I call it, defrost our spiritual assets. These six directives will help each and every one of us understand and use our spiritual gifts the way God intended. And we'll see what that is here. So the remainder of the time, I want to cover these six directives or six points about spiritual gifts. So the first one is simply be informed about spiritual gifts. Be informed about spiritual gifts. That sounds pretty basic, right? Well, look at the church of Corinth. They were not informed. And we see the results of what happened there. Things went bad real fast. When we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, we see that Paul wanted to make sure that the people there and us today had the proper understanding about these spiritual gifts. Again, what they were, how they were used, and who were they used for, and what they were used for. The church at Corinth desperately needed this instruction. They really, really had a problem here. And it's been brought forth throughout time. We can't afford to have this same problem. Where we are today, what we're facing in the world today, we can't afford to fall back into the attitude that the church of Corinth faced at the time. So look right here in verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant or without understanding. Paul said right in the very beginning, I don't want you to misunderstand the point here. This is a topic that is much, much too important for a Christian to be uninformed about. And it certainly is critical in the fight that we all face today. Someone once said, and I wholeheartedly believe this, that no congregation will be what it should be until it understands spiritual gifts. That makes so much sense, especially when you read through and start understanding what spiritual gifts are, what they're used for, how they're used. No local congregation will be what it should be until they reach this point. How many times have we wanted growth? And we've talked about having growth in the church and growth, more numbers, more people. That's all fine. And we need to do our part in that. But a major part of our part in that is that we grow internally, that we grow individually. If we don't grow individually and internally, more than likely God will not bring others in, because they can get bickering, arguments, bad attitudes. They can get this anywhere. They don't need it in God's church. We don't need it in God's church. So I think that statement is pretty accurate in today's where we're at today. But it's when we become well-rounded and we have a complete understanding of spiritual gifts, then we become a deeper Christian. And everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. So how can we define spiritual gifts? Let's kind of start in general here. We'll just give a general description. There was a man who, he kind of summarized it. And all of us can summarize the definition of spiritual gifts in a different way. And they're probably all going to be accurate. I read a lot of quotes on this and trying to get a... I like what he said. This is, his name is Bruce Bugbee. And he's the founder and president of what's called Network Ministries. And I'm not advocating we should follow him. I'm just saying I like what he said here. And I want to read you his quote because it hits home. His quotes for a description on spiritual gifts is, "Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every Christian according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ." Absolutely well said. We can all add to that or take away from it, but that sums it up. This is what spiritual gifts is about. Now, it goes much deeper than that, and we're going to get into that. What about the difference between spiritual gifts and our natural abilities? Because we know that all of our natural abilities are gifts from God, right? Everything that we have good is a gift from God. Well, it's important to recognize that spiritual gifts is given by God through the Holy Spirit later on, not when you're born. Whereas our natural talents and natural abilities are with us when we're born. That's kind of the basics of the difference, or maybe the beginning of the difference. And the fact of the matter is, we must yield our talents and our abilities to do the work of God, because they do come from God also, but that's something we have and it grows and we can polish that, you know, as we do, and it should be a service and a work to God. We must pay particular attention to the spiritual gifts that God has given us, and that comes later in life as we become converted, we become a Christian. Then God allows these gifts that He has given us to shine and to be used for the good, to glorify God. And in doing that, it glorifies each other. It glorifies the church. It glorifies the body of Christ. So what about the difference between spiritual gifts and the fruits of the Spirit? We can just go on and ask question after question. And there is differences. You know, both, again, both are fruits. Both the fruits of God's Spirit, which are Galatians 5:22-23, and the spirits, the gifts of the spirits, they're both necessary for a life of servanthood. Did you get that? They're necessary for a life of servanthood, not for a life of pleasure, a life of servanthood. That's first. And then pleasure, godly pleasure, and all that comes when we build on the fruits of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts. But they make different contributions, and that's the difference. I'm going to look at a few distinct categories now. When you think about spiritual gifts, and hopefully by now you have your list, and we'll refer to that here in just a minute. But when you think about all of the spiritual gifts, and what I have there, there's 20 listed on that list. I believe there's 20. That's not an exhaustive list. These are the ones that are easy to find in Scripture. That's not an exhaustive list. But you can kind of divide them, you know, into categories. And I think it's maybe a little easier to understand what they are, how they work, and what they're used for when you do that. So I divided them into three categories. I'm going to give you layman's terms first. That's what I understand. And then I'll give you the biblical terms. Well, I hope I understand that too. But kind of, I'll give you one and then give you the other. You'll see how they match together. So we can use either one. But if you look in 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll start there. First Peter chapter 4, in verse 11 here, we'll see the first two primary distinctions. And those are speaking and serving. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The two things there that is pointing out is speaking and ministry or serving. Now, there's a third category that I used anyway. A third category, and it would include what I called the sign gifts. And again, we'll go back and look at them here in a minute, what they are, so you know how to break them down. But this is more of a temporary in nature. Not that they're temporary only, that you only have them for a little bit and then they're gone, but maybe the way they're used. It glorifies, and then you move on. And then later on, you can use it again to glorify and move on. That's kind of more what we're talking about in temporary, not that you lose it. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says that these gifts were given to the apostles and they were critical to the church in its embryonic stage, in the beginning, to nurture it, to get it on its feet. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, "The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance." Now that's the New King James Version. I want to read it to you again in the New Living Translation because it says the same thing, just a little different. Paul's talking here. Says, "When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you." Those type of gifts, they had their time, and they'll have their time again. But it's not necessarily something that has to be done every day, all day long, throughout, as with a service gift or a speaking gift. So you kind of start to understand that, not that it's any less important, but it's a matter of timing when God needs it. They needed it here in the beginning of the church. You go back and look at the Corinthians there. They had these gifts, and they were going crazy with them. They didn't know what they were. They didn't understand them. They thought they came from idols. They didn't understand them. Now, these gifts were especially important in the first century church. But they're important now because every time we have a new member, a new person of interest coming into the church, to them, that's the embryonic stage of the church. No matter that the church itself is old and growing and continuing to grow, we've been established. It's new for them. So when you think about these gifts, all the gifts are good and important, but some of them are used at different points along the way for different reasons. Now, there's another scripture I want to look at. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's important to understand that 1 Corinthians 13 here suggests that many of these gifts, or the kinds of these gifts, will cease to function if certain conditions are met or not met, however you want to say it. It's 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But you notice what it led with. Love never fails. This is a godly kind of love that endures beyond everything else. Now, these gifts, they're used at the appropriate times for appropriate reasons. God knows what is needed when it's needed. Our part in this is taking the gift that He has given us and using it. Using it. It's not for us to say when it's not needed. That's God's. That's His decision to make. Now, I want to break these gifts down into individual categories again from a more biblical standpoint. You know, we talked about the speaking gifts, the serving gifts, and the sign gifts. Now, the speaking gifts, I'm going to generalize this. These are like words of wisdom, the speaking gifts, prophecies. We know that. Evangelism, pastor, teacher, or teaching. That's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about the speaking gifts. The service gifts go more to administration, exhortation, faith, giving, help, serving, and the gift of mercy. You didn't think that was a gift, did you? It is. It's an important gift. All these are important. And then finally, the sign gifts are the gifts of distinguishing or discerning spirits, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation, and that kind of thing. So to break it down even more, if you don't like the name speaking gift, serving gift, and sign gift, let's go from a more biblical standpoint. The speaking gift can be called a motivational gift. And that probably makes a little more sense because the motivational gift, it talks about diversities of gifts. And you can study more on this in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. We're not going to look at that right now. But this is how God works in a Christian's life to shape His perspective, our perspective, on life and motivate our words. Motivate our words. In other words, help us to teach. Help us to speak. Help us to work for the good of the group, the good of glorifying God, to help others. And that's what it's talking about as far as the speaking gifts or the motivational gifts. The next one is the service gift. That would be more of the gift of the ministry gifts, the gifts of ministry. And this would be defined as differences in administration. And again, a reference scripture is Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And this, the ministry gifts, they go to speak of how God works with what a believer does to serve and to meet the needs of others. So this goes back more toward the work. We saw the speaking, which is work, but it's more of, teaching others. Now you're serving others. And then finally we have the signs gift or the manifestation gift. The manifestation gift. And this is found, and we'll look at this here in a little bit. It's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 11. This is diversities of operation. Diversities of operation. This is how God works through a Christian in a given situation to demonstrate his or her, I hate to use the word supernatural powers, but gifted abilities. And that's what the manifestation gifts are. So again, if you take the list, and there's three columns there, and basically there's three general areas in the Bible that point out these gifts. When you look at those, there's 20. There's 20 in total. But that's not an exhaustive list. There's others implied. I don't want to get into all those yet, but you can also add 1 Peter 4 to that list, because 1 Peter 4, it speaks of the gifts. Now, it doesn't list them per se, not as they're listed here in these in Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians, but it does list them in the fact that how they should be used, how it instructs us of what we're to do with these gifts that God has given us. And that starts in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11 for reference. But I want to read verse 10 to you, because verse 10 really, it just tells us the way it is. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another." How? "As good stewards of the manifold grace of God." If we take that scripture to heart and we follow that to the very, very minute letter of that law, we will be surprised at the internal individual growth that we will see in God's church. It'll be amazing. And the key word in here is minister it to one another, to others. And in doing that, it glorifies God. That's what we're to do. When we speak of the distribution of these gifts, it's important. It's very important to keep in mind that we are commanded to do much more than the things that we've listed in the spiritual gifts. What gifts we all have, how much of that gift we have, that's all from God. The point is, we're to take that gift and go above and beyond. We're already supposed to be at this level, wherever this bar is set. That's where we're supposed to be. The gifts are something extra. But what you'll find out is, each one of these gifts in this list you look at, these are qualities of a true Christian. These are qualities that we have to live on a daily basis. If you think about these, how they're distributed. While some people have the gift of giving, we're all to be givers, because that's what God is. But you probably all see people who absolutely will give you the shirt off their back in sub-zero weather. That's the kind of person they are. And that's great. But at the same time, we are not excused from our responsibility of teaching one another, others, just because we might not have the gift of evangelism. So we have to understand these gifts and the depths of them, because that is the true makeup of a real Christian, how we use them. Let's move to point number two. Point number two, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And again, you're thinking, come on, these are basic Christian points that we should know and be living. And they are. But when we live them a little further, a little more in depth, we'll see these gifts start to flourish in our life. And in doing that, it glorifies God. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. First Corinthians 12, in verse 2 and 3 here, Paul challenges us to be influenced exclusively by the Holy Spirit. And he did that for a reason, because the people back then were influenced by another spirit. And it wasn't a good thing. Verse 2 and 3 says this, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. When we all have our focus on God the Father and Jesus Christ, and we allow their Spirit to lead us, this is what comes out. Not what was happening back in the day of the Corinthians here. These people didn't understand where these gifts came from. So they were led down the wrong path. And just as a warning, even today, we are not immune from that same thing happening. If we lack understanding, not just in spiritual gifts, but in God's way, what God expects, what He commands, if we lack understanding there, we will be led down the wrong path. When it comes to the topic of spiritual gifts, our focus has to be on the giver. Let me say it again. It has to be on the giver, not the gift themselves. Now, yes, we need to understand the gift. We need to understand what it is and how to use it. But we need to have our focus on the giver, which is God, through His Spirit. Unfortunately, that part is neglected throughout the churches today. And it really is unfortunate. Paul reminds us that before we were converted and saved, we were led astray by our emotions of false doctrine. And that's so true. I mean, when you look at false religions today, their primary goal is to get everybody emotionally involved, emotionally committed. They don't really care if their whole heart and soul is in it. It's emotional. And unfortunately, that's because a lot, not all of them, but a lot of them are in it for the money. And if they can get people emotionally involved, people will part with their money. It's really sad, but it's a plan that Satan has come up with. And it's a plan that he uses to perfection. We have to understand, and I know we know this, and we realize this, but just as nobody can come to God the Father except through Jesus Christ, it's impossible for any of us to greatly improve our service to one another, to the church, to God, if we aren't allowing God to lead us. This is better defined in Galatians 5 and verse 25. And it tells us that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. In short, that's saying unity. Unity through God. Unity through God's Spirit. Now we're reminded of the importance of being led by God's Spirit in Romans. Let's take a quick look at Romans, if you will. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Read verses 13 through 15. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And one thing to note there, this is how personal this statement is. When he's talking about the bondage, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption. That changes things a little bit. He's saying, because then you cry out, Dad. That's what Abba, Father, means, Dad. That's how personal he's becoming in this statement here. So it's important to understand the relationship that he's trying to implant in all of our minds. There's no doubt at all that God is doing a work here in Portsmouth. He's doing it in the church today as a whole. And we are called to be a part of this. And it's a great calling. It's a great responsibility. And it's a great privilege. This is an opportunity for each and every one of us to be a part of the very family of God. And again, there's nothing more important in this world than that right there. After baptism, each one of us was given a portion of God's Holy Spirit. And we take that and we grow. It grows in us. We become a stronger Christian. And we do that so, yes, we can be there at the end, but we do it to help others. The gifts are the same way. We were given a gift, maybe more, but at least one, he says. And the amount or the portion of that gift is determined by God. It's to be used to glorify God, to serve each other. Point number three. Incorporate diversity in your understanding of the spiritual gifts. Incorporate diversity in your understanding of the spiritual gifts. Now, I said it that way because that's a nice way of saying don't be narrow-minded in our understanding. So I thought incorporate diversity sounds a little better. So we'll go with that. You know, Paul's next challenge to us is to have an understanding, a diverse understanding. In other words, be a little, you know, open-minded here. Try to understand what these gifts are, not just for what they say, but what they actually are, what they mean, how they're to be used, the depths of this. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll read verses 4 through 6 here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 6. He tells us to, he wants us to incorporate a diversity of our understanding. Verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The key word in these passages here is the word different. We all have different kinds of gifts, just like we all have different depths of understanding. We all have different kinds of gifts. There are different ways to serve. Different ways to serve. There's different workings of these gifts. It's important for us to go to God and very boldly ask Him to show us what these gifts are in our lives. How to use them. How to use them to serve. How to use them to work. And when we do this and we expect an answer, we have faith that God will answer us, it won't be long and He will start to show you what your gift is. And even better than that, He will start to show you how you can use your gift to glorify Him, to strengthen the church. There's not just one gift that fits all Christians. And that's the whole point in diversity. It's just like there's just not one Christian. You know, we're not all the same. We all come from different backgrounds. We all have different levels of understanding. The beauty of it all is, even though we all come from all these different areas, we're all on the same path. And we're all going to the same goal. These gifts help each one of us where we're at any given time. Yes, they're to be used for others. But in doing that the proper way, you'll be amazed at what it actually does for you. But the goal is to use them for others, to serve others, to glorify God. Now, the word gift here, it comes from the Greek word charismata, if that's pronounced right. And it's the root word for grace. These gifts of grace, they're those divine abilities distributed by God's Holy Spirit. And they're given to all of God's people. There's different kinds of service. And again, it's important to understand that. Study it. Pray about it. Ask God to make it clear in our minds. And He'll help us with this. Whether or not, you know, we're able to see the results of these gifts, some of us say, well, I've been in church for 40 or 50 or 60 years, and I don't see where my gift is. I don't see what my gift is. The bottom line is, you're still here. And that's great. Don't quit. Sometimes it takes a little while Sometimes it happens and we don't recognize it. Just like what we talked about. Some people are natural givers. Well, that's not natural. Natural, or human nature, if you will, is Satan's way of saying, take, take, take. When somebody says, I'll give you the shirt off my back, that's a gift. And they're willing to do it. The bottom line is, we may not see individually all of the gifts that we have or what gifts we have, but God does. And that's probably the key. God does. And when he does, it glorifies him. So we're to use that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 for just a second here. When we serve according to the gifts that we have, God gives us the energy. And then we, in turn, energize the church. We energize each other. And it just builds from there. Philippians 2, verse 13, it reminds us. It says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. All these gifts that we have, whatever they might be, again, the bottom line is to glorify God. Never, never lose focus of that. The people in Corinth did. They lost focus of what it was. They didn't know what it was for. We do. They didn't know it was to glorify God. They thought it was to glorify themselves. And because of that, sin was rampant. Because God is at work in each and every one of us, we can accomplish his purpose. And that should encourage us. That'll help us to elevate these gifts even to a higher standard than they are right now. If we don't know what our gift is, that's fine. Keep doing what you're doing and keep asking God to reveal more. And in time, in his time, when it's appropriate, he will. If we do it with the right attitude, God will show us when it will best serve the congregation, when it will best serve him. We have to do it with the right attitude. That's the thing. Paul challenged the people back then, though, and he challenges us today to incorporate this diversity in our understanding. We minister, or we speak, or we teach, and we serve others differently simply because we are all different. And we've been gifted. We've been given the gifts in a different abundance and a different quality. But here's the catch. The very same God gave all to us. So if the root of it is good, the fruit will be good as well. I want to give you an example here of how these certain gifts can be used in our daily life. And I've kind of called this the parable of the spilled coffee. We can all relate to this. A potluck meal was going on. And the group was there. They were enjoying each other's company. One member commented, I don't understand how different gifts can work together. At that very moment, now I'm just making this up, so. At that very moment, a woman accidentally dropped her cup, which broke and spilled coffee all over the floor. Each group member responded differently. Each group, each spiritual group, each spiritual gift member responded differently. This is what happened. The teacher, the one who was gifted as a teacher in the group, gave some advice. Next time, you will have to put your cup on the coffee table. That won't happen again. And it was in a loving way, of course. The next spiritual gift of administration responded by this. Sir, please go and find a mop. Sally, could you please help him with a towel? The man's name was Jerry. Jerry had the gift of service. Jerry hurried up and got the mop. Sally, who had the gift of helps, she followed Jerry and she said, I'll help you. The person with the gift of exhortation said this, we all make mistakes, so don't let it get you down. The person with the gift of mercy put her arm around the woman and patted her on the hand and said, I feel so badly for you. It's not a big problem. The person with the gift of giving exclaimed this, I'll buy a new set of coffee mugs and replace the broken one. So what you see here is they all use their various gifts to come together and solve one problem. And I just kind of simplified and maybe a little bit silly, but it gets the point across. These are how God's gifts are used in our life. And if we all take the gift that we have, and we'll find out what it is, and use it to serve others, at the end, the problem will be solved. It all works together. It all works together for the good. And we've all been gifted differently, and so we all act differently. And that is absolutely not a problem. Brethren, the church, this church, God's church in general, but now I'm focusing on this church. This church has every gift that is needed for us to function as a biblical community. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. This verse was written to the entire church of Corinth. Even with all of its problems, all of its issues, and it had a lot of them, this community, the community of believers, they did not lack any spiritual gift. That's a promise that God has given to us. We here, whatever problems we may have, we do not lack any spiritual gifts to make this a successful biblical community, honoring and worshiping God. And when we say that out loud and we really hear what we're saying, that should encourage each and every one of us to want to do more individually. Because when we do more individually, it helps collectively. This is important to keep in mind. It makes me consider the question. I wonder what needs God is going to meet by placing a certain individual in His church. You ever think about that? I wonder what needs that God is going to meet. And it's interesting to think about that. I love how 1 Peter 2 describes our duties and our roles. If you want to turn to 1 Peter 2 and verse 8, he says, we're all ministers and priests. First Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. This is encouraging. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to see this and to understand it. And you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 4, verse 12 follows up with this. To prepare God's people for works of service, and this is why, so that the body of Christ may be built up. To prepare God's people for works of service, that's our job, so that the body of Christ will be built up, so it'll make it stronger. Brethren, we're called to serve. And when we start to understand the details around spiritual gifts, we can serve others in the way that God intended, the true way that God intended. Number four, identify your spiritual gift. Identify your spiritual gift. So, we're to be informed about our spiritual gifts. We saw that. We're to be influenced by God's Spirit. There's absolutely no question about that. And we're to incorporate diversity in our understanding of these spiritual gifts that God has given us. So now we'll identify ours. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Now to each one, The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, the word manifest here, it means to make plain. To make plain. Spiritual gifts are given to make plain the work of God through His Holy Spirit in our lives. This verse teaches us two different things, two basic things. First, every converted Christian, every one of God's children has been given the manifestation of the Spirit to make plain. Notice the phrase, each one. Starts off right in the very beginning. Now to each one. Every Christian has been given at least one spiritual gift. And maybe more, but at least one. And we just read that in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. Number two, we've been given at least one gift, one spiritual gift, for the common good. To profit the church. Not for our good, for the common good. To profit the church, to glorify God. Gifts are given so that we can serve others. And we've said that several times so far. But we've got to keep repeating that because we never want to forget that. They're given to profit the church, to serve others. When you think about these gifts, it truly is a blessing to think that in God's plan of everything, this whole miraculous universe, that what little we know about it, to think that He thought minute enough to give us these gifts. And not just give us these gifts, but to give it the gifts after He gives us His Holy Spirit. After He gives us the opportunity to produce fruits from that very Holy Spirit. After all this, then He gives us more. And it almost is overwhelming to think about what He has done for us. And this is just what we know. Wait until the kingdom. Wait until we get there. It's going to be so much better. Point number five. Now, I know you were thinking, you're supposed to tell us what our spiritual gifts are. Well, that's your job. We're going to point number five. Implement your gift in service. Point number five is implement your gift in service. Now, while it's important to identify your gift, and it is very important, that's not where it ends. Gifts are given to be used. We've covered that quite a bit now. And verses 12 through 30, which we're not going to read, they describe how the church is like the human body. And it talks about each part playing a critical role. And we've read that several times too. And each part of that functions, individual parts of the body, for the common good. We've been given these gifts as a key role to play in the church. But until each one of us implement our gift, the church will not mature as it should. So, yes, we individually have a responsibility and a duty to help the church grow. And we do that by allowing our gift to grow. Look at verse 14 here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Again, you know, the foot needs the hand. The ear needs the eyes, and we could go on and on. It all needs each other to operate and function at its highest level. The church at Corinth had elevated some of the sign gifts and had taken some of the other gifts and called them lesser value, and they called them second-class gifts. And that's wrong. God does not give second-class gifts. No matter what our gift is, whether we think it's important or not, God said it was. And that's good enough for me. Paul, I really like to go back and read Paul's writings because I really look forward to meeting him someday. Because I have a mental picture of what Paul looks like and what he might be like. So, Paul has written a letter to us. And I want to read it to you. So, this is what he's talking about, spiritual gifts. He said, brothers and sisters, say one of you owned a set of tools. Would you spend all your time counting them, naming them, organizing them, and polishing them and putting them on display? Would you not simply use them? So it is with the gifts of the Spirit. They are tools not to admire, but to use. They are not medals to be won, or trophies to be displayed, or treasures to be guarded. Use them. And that's Paul saying it very forcefully. Use them. It is as you serve the God, by His Spirit will reveal the gifts He has given you. Paul just told us how to find out what our gift is. Did you catch that? Paul said, use them. It is as you serve that God, by His Spirit, will reveal the gifts He has given you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. First Peter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. This goes to the point that it doesn't matter what our gift is. Use it. Whether we think it's a very important gift, or we think it's a very minimal gift, use it. Paul's concern here with young Timothy, his concern that he not only would be able to not identify his gifts, but he wouldn't use them in the proper way. And just for a study, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, and 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Go back and read them, because Paul says, you know, hey, do not neglect your gift. Don't neglect your gift. He said, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God. Fan that flame. In other words, use it. Feed it. Let it do what it's supposed to do and serve others. There's a well-known conductor. He was holding a rehearsal one night, and he had a vast array of musicians. He had a 100-voice choir. Very huge performance. And while the mighty chorus sang out, the horns, they blared, and the cymbals, they clashed. The music was in harmony. The voices were in harmony. Sitting in the very back of the orchestra was a piccolo player. She thought, with all these loud instruments, this beautiful singing, it doesn't matter if I play or not. They didn't need me. Her gift, she's saying, my gift, is not important. So she stopped playing. The instant she stopped playing, the conductor stopped the orchestra. He stopped the singing. He looked directly at the piccolo player who was singing in the back and said, if you quit, we're missing something. Don't stop playing. Brethren, that's the advice that we need. It doesn't matter what our gift is. Don't stop playing. Because if we quit, the whole orchestra suffers. It's not a class act, so to speak. So don't quit. Whatever it is, keep going. Number six, our final point. Intensify your love. Intensify your love. And one of the lessons that we can learn from the church at Corinth is this. Having spiritual gifts does not necessarily make you spiritual. It's possible for the church to have all of the gifts it needs, for have everything that they needed, they believed in, and still miss the mark. The church in Corinth did that. In the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12, we're reminded that there is something far greater than even our divine abilities. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31 says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Eagerly desire. Don't quit for anything. While 1 Corinthians 13 is without a doubt probably the best explanation of love, God's love, that whatever was ever written, we have to understand that Paul's intention was that we not only read it at weddings. A lot of times when we, you know, that's what's read, because it's a great explanation of true love. But this love chapter, it's sandwiched in between the discussion of the spiritual gifts, chapters 12 and chapters 14. Maybe we never thought about it that way before. But chapter 13 doesn't leave out the gifts either. Notice 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3. Paul recognizes the dangers of allowing the spiritual assets that we have to be removed. If not, we don't have God's love. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. After elevating the magnitude of love over every spiritual gift, Paul then describes in very good detail how love should be the marinade, if you will, that holds all these gifts together, that supports these gifts, that gives these gifts that extra flavor. We have to understand that love is patient and love is kind. Love works wonders. Then the beginning in verse 8, Paul contrasts the idea here of these prophecies, of tongues, of knowledge, with the never-failing aspect of love. Love will never fail, he says. Love never, never ceases to exist. If we have that, God's love, the gifts that God gives us, will blossom. And they will work miracles in our church. I believe that the ignorance that Paul talked about, or the lack of understanding relating to the spiritual gifts, is not our basic problem. More basic is the problem of not desiring to strengthen other people's faith, being patient with other people, being kind to others. That comes back to our more basic problem. And unfortunately, that's a problem coming from human nature. That's a problem with a satanic influence. We have to fight that first. And then we can move on. I'll read verse 4 through 6 here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 6. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Human nature is prone to tear down. We'd rather kick people, as we saw in the story in the beginning, than labor in love with them. And we need to make sure that that is not the case in our life. Someone once said that people in general have just enough religion to make them hate, but not enough to make them love. And when you think about that, that's true. And that's very scary. We have to make sure that we are not a part of that group. We want to make sure that we have enough, and not just enough, but we have more than enough to make us want to do good, want to help others. We have to focus on the greater commandment. Love God first, and then love our enemy, love our neighbor, love everyone else. And that's where these spiritual gifts start. And that's where they grow. We know that God has given them. He's given them to us. He's given them to us for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him, ultimately. But in glorifying Him, we help each other grow. And in helping each other grow, we grow individually. And it's a stair step. But we have to start at the beginning. So just to summarize as we close up here, we have to be informed about our spiritual gifts. We need to be influenced by God's Spirit. No other. God's Spirit only. Incorporate diversity in our understanding. Understand that there are many different gifts and there's many different ways they can be used. No one gift is better than the other. They're all gifts from God. Identify our spiritual gifts. And that's something we have to do. Individually, we have to do that. Yes, we can help each other. We can complement each other. And in doing that, that helps show what our gifts are. But we have to go to God. And we have to ask God to reveal what our gifts are. And He will. Then we have to implement our gift in service. Implement our gift in service. And then finally, intensify our love. And in doing that, the rest of these points will flow. And the spiritual gifts that God has given us will be used to the maximum. And that's what we have to do. Brethren, we are to apply not just these six directives or points, but anything else that glorifies God. Apply it to our lives and allow each one of our gifts to work as it should. So I'm going to leave you with one question. It's a question for you as an individual. What is in your gift box?